348 for our opening song. Would you please rise as we sing this song? Would you kneel with me in a word of prayer? Our most kind and loving Father, we have feel thy children at this time desire to come before thee to give you thanks for the many blessings of life. I'm thankful, Lord, for the safety of our loved ones as they've returned from their journeys, and I pray, Lord, that you continue to be mindful of those who'll still be on the roads. I pray, Father, that you be with our speaker this hour as he stands before us, that your spirit might rest upon him and that he might be able to deliver a message to us that might strengthen and edify us. Prepare our hearts and our minds, Father, that we receive it with joy. And we're thankful, Lord, for this time that we can come together and to worship thee and have fellowship one with another. Now, Father, we do thank you and we wait upon thee even at this time. In the blessed name of thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's continue with song number 325, The Lily of the Valley. Would you please rise as we sing this song?
Thank you.
Now the time's come that we might be able to listen to the words of God as our brother would impart to them, and I pray that you would give him your attention, our brother and apostle, J. Moser.
Chris and I have been wondering what flight Don took in to get here. Of course, we really weren't too much farther away than he was today. We started off the day in Sholo, and after we spent the night with Kathy and visiting with her family, and went down to Payson to have a service with Tom and Maureen and the Browns up there. We enjoyed ourselves and the time which we had there. I couldn't help but notice when I was up on the Navajo Reservation two things that just are always a marvel to me. One is the number of stars you see up there when you get away from the lights of the city, how you can see things out in the heavens much more clearly. The other thing was I couldn't help but have noticed how well-behaved I think our kids were up on the Navajo Reservation. I think they did a pretty good job. But I'd like to tell you that while they're not here, because I thought they really did behave themselves quite well when they were there. I don't know what they did before and after. They may have tried the patience of their chaperones. I'm sure they did. But that's natural. I have been thinking as I've been coming down here, not knowing exactly what I would say this evening, not really having had time to prepare myself for a couple of weeks now. I've been thinking, though, there has been a thought that has been presented to me quite forcefully, and I would like to try and to present that to you. This thought is about the simplest rudiment of our gospel, and that of faith. Faith. And how it is exercised in our daily life, and how we can show it, and how we need it. There are Goliaths all around us, and there are personal Goliaths and giants and things that are in your lives and in my life, and things which we are afraid of, things which we are fearful of. Sometimes a person can be quite brave about many things, and yet there's a Goliath in their life that they cannot face. Something which seems to be too big. Now David, when he went out to face his Goliath, he didn't go out to tempt God. He went out because there was a problem. Israel was threatened. And he went out there as a lad, probably a young teenager, and went out there to face this great man, this great warrior who came to threaten Israel and to taunt Israel and to taunt the God of Israel. So he didn't go out there tempting God. Didn't go out looking, didn't come down looking for Goliath either, really. He kind of heard about a rumor, you know, when he got there and he found this problem and the armies of Israel, they had been challenged to send their best warrior out, and he came in the middle of this problem. And so he felt as a young lad that he had the strength to meet this giant, the strength which he had with God. And that's what I'd like to talk about is, you know, we must face these things in our lives. Sometimes we might think the world, when I was working, there was always this Goliath. The world has their own Goliath, you know, that they set up, you know, success, you know, doing right, getting money, being successful. That's their Goliath. And yet that's something that they're seeking day in and day out. But that's not the Goliath that we have. I'm going to start and read a scripture of an example of faith. tonight, and I'm going to go to Matthew in the 15th chapter and read about a Gentile woman who approached Jesus and was ignored. It wasn't really ignored. We know the Master discerned her intent, discerned her faith, discerned her life, and knew what was to come to pass because of the great amount of the Spirit that was with him. And yet what he did was really quite a marvel. How many of us would be able to do the same thing? 15th chapter of Matthew, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Didn't answer a word. Now we would have been, how often have you been offended or been discouraged in doing something right with the first ripple of adversity? Probably quite often. And hopefully as we grow in the Spirit, it's less often as time goes on. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And we know, of course, that Jesus was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as verse 24 tells us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he wasn't going to talk to her. And so here was the second time. And then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Twice. Twice she besought him, and he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, how would you feel? How would you feel if the Master had told you something like this, and someone that you know that could give you some help were to make an inference that you are really something like a dog? I can't help but think of some of the people that I have met in Mexico. Some of them are like a lot of people. They're just greedy and looking for a handout occasionally. But some of them that you meet are quite similar to this person. They come to you and they beseech you and they have no hope really, except maybe that you might help them to give them a little bit of money to go and to pay for a medical bill, to pay for some bill that they have. And sometimes we find ourselves that we can't do it because it's really against the policies of the church to pay for certain kinds of bills, you know, and so, but they beseech us again and again and again. And they don't find it beneath them often to continue to ask and to plead for help. And oftentimes, because of this, we try and we get the brothers together down there and the ministry to ask, you know, what their opinion is and what their honest feelings are about how we can best handle the situation. But God answers those who continue. You know, I can't help but think of what might have happened. What would have happened that day? Israel would have been probably just another page in our scripture of how Israel had been mocked and humiliated, and the God of Israel mocked and humiliated, if David had not faced that giant that came there to challenge Israel. And this young lad went out there and he picked up 5 smooth stones and to hurl them at the great giant. And told him that, you know, you've come to me with all these mighty things. I can imagine he had the breastplate and helmet and a great sword probably and a shield. And he had all these things and he probably made a lot of noise when he walked. And big feet. And once in a while you meet a guy once here and there around the world, and you look at them and you can see there's something different about them. Their hands are bigger and their elbows are bigger and their necks are thicker and they're just huge men. Kind of like Brother Housenick was. You know, he had huge hands and arms and a barrel chest. And they're really giants physically in a lot of ways. And they could present a great threaten you quite easily. But I'm convinced that God is looking for and trying to test His people. And if we run at the face and in the face of your personal Goliath if you run away. When you hear the noise, when you see the size and the strength of his arms as he flexes them, and you know that you're not that big and you're not that strong. There must come a time in the life of every Christian when they must face their giant. They must face him and do as David did and come to him with the God of Israel. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I don't know what your personal Goliath is and your problem in life and your need and the thing that makes you frightened. But I know that each one of us has one. Something that stands, and sometimes when we're weak enough of faith, it meets us when we first open our eyes in the morning with some thought, a fear of some kind, some great trial that is there and always faces you day in and day out. And as this woman, we must humble ourselves before our Maker and our Master and to plead for the crumbs from the table. And he will pour out upon you the blessing which you stand in need of. These things are always there. You meet one, and if you can beat the giant, then you grow in faith and you realize you can beat another one somewhere along the line. There's another story of great faith. It's found in the Book of Mormon. And this man who was a persecutor of the Christians or of the believers upon at one time, it's a story of Ammon in the 12th chapter of Alma. I like this. You know, I can't help but believe when we went up here to the Navajo Reservation, I was just firmly convinced that Don had the best part. I just knew it. That he had the best part to give to these people because he was going to tell a story. And as I've looked upon the scriptures and tried to understand what it is, the best way to reach people, I am certain that it is through stories. Through stories. Telling stories. True stories, whether it be of your own experiences or whether it be stories from the scriptures. Telling a story. People remember a story. You remember David and Goliath. You remember it all your life. I don't have to tell you every detail because you know the story already. An important tool to tell and teaching for people to learn that they can apply it spiritually in their lives. But on page 365, we find this where Ammon was taken captive and brought before the king of the Lamanites, King Lamoni. In verse 35, he makes, verse 33. And here again, you know, here's Ammon, and he is surrounded by his enemies. Those, if he made one false move, he would be killed. He would be killed in an instant, without doubt. But he was not there to threaten, and he was not there to kill these people. But here was this problem that faced him. And no doubt he was called to do this too. We can't just think that we can do these kind of things randomly and just because we would like to do them. But we can face the same kind of problems in our own lives with the same kind of faith. And so the king asked him in verse 33, and the king inquired of Ammon if it were his desire to dwell in the land among the Lamanites or among his people. And Ammon said, "Yea, I desire to dwell among this people for a time, yea, and perhaps until the day I die." You know, so here he was resolved to this. He had resolved himself to face this problem. To face this problem and carry this gospel to these people. And he was willing to lay down his life to do so. But he had resolved himself to it. And death had lost its fear and he was ready to do this. The fear of this new situation, he had no idea what he was going to face. None whatsoever. And it came to pass that King Lamoni was much pleased with Ammon and caused that his band should be loosed, and he would that Ammon should take one of his daughters to wife. But Ammon said unto him, Nay, but I will be thy servant. Therefore Ammon became a servant to King Lamoni. And it came to pass that he was set among other servants to watch the flocks of Lamoni, according to the custom of the Lamanites. And it came to pass that after he had been in the service of the king 3 days, that as he was with the Lamanitish servants, going forth with their flocks to the place of water, which was called the water of Sebus, and all the Lamanites drive their flocks hither, that they might have water. Therefore, as Ammon and his servants of the king were driving forth their flocks to this place of water, behold, a certain number of Lamanites, who had been with their flocks to water, stood and scattered the flocks of Ammon and the servants of the king. And they scattered them insomuch that they fled many ways. And of course, we know, I'm not sure what kind of flocks they were. We don't know what kind of flocks they were. Doesn't say, does it? Doesn't really say what kind of flocks they were. So we don't know what they were, you know, but some kind of flocks of animals that apparently scattered much more easily than sheep do. Sheep do scatter a little bit, and you lose one here and there, but not too badly, you know. So it must have been possibly some other kind of animal. And they scattered, and they were lost, and here was this great problem. And I can see, you know, and when I go up there, and I've been down in Mexico, and I walk up to the border, or drive up to the border, I feel just like this, you know, I'm surrounded. I'm surrounded on all sides, and it's a fearful thought. To me, it is. Because I know that there are a lot of people down there, they do not live by the same code that we have in our own laws up here in this country. And so I'm fearful in many ways. And yet I know we have to face this Goliath every time we go down there. And the Lord has preserved us. And sometimes we lose little skirmishes, but He has preserved us. Now, in verse 39, therefore, as Ammon and the servants of the king were driving forth their flocks to this... I'm going to verse 40. Now the servants of the king began to murmur, saying, Now the king will slay us, as he has our brethren, because their flocks were scattered by the wickedness of these men. And they began to weep exceedingly, saying, Behold, our flocks are scattered already. And now they wept because of the fear of being slain. And now when Ammon saw this, his heart was swollen within him with joy. For, said he, I will show forth my power unto these my fellow servants, or the power which is in me in restoring these flocks unto the king, that I may win the hearts of these my fellow servants, that I may lead them to believe in my words. Did you ever stop to think that through the gift of the Holy Ghost that there is a power that is resident within you? The power of God, if we live according to and obey that Spirit, the power of God lives within us, and if we have faith in Him. But you know the story, or do you? You do know the story. Now these were the thoughts of Ammon when he saw the afflictions of those which he termed to be his brethren. And it came to pass that he flattered them by his word, saying, My brethren, be of good cheer, and let us go in search of the flocks, and we will gather them together and bring them back into the place of water, and thus we will reserve the flocks unto the king, and he will not slay us. And it came to pass that they went in search of the flocks, and they did follow Ammon, and they rushed forth with much swiftness, and did head the flocks of the king, and did gather them together again to the place of water. And those men again stood to scatter their flocks, but Ammon saith unto his brethren, Encircle the flocks round about, that they flee not, and I go and contend with these men which do scatter our flocks. So, you know, did you ever think that possibly because he would not take the king's daughter, that the king knew what would happen out there? And maybe he sent them out there. He sent Ammon out there knowing that possibly he would lose the flocks and they would be scattered and he'd have to kill him and be rid of this guy anyway, you know. He's just a bothersome person. I don't really know if that's what he thought or not. It said once that he was pleased with him, what he had said, but then he placed him in this position and apparently it had happened before. So he gave him a very difficult job to do. Verse 49, Therefore they did as Ammon commanded them, and he went forth and stood to contend with those which stood by the waters of Sebus. And they were not in number a very few. Therefore they did not fear Ammon. For they supposed that one of their men could slay him, according to their pleasure. For they knew not that the Lord had promised Mosiah that he would deliver his sons out of their hands. Neither did they know anything concerning the Lord. Therefore they delighted in the destruction of their brethren. And for this cause they stood to scatter the flocks of the king. But Ammon stood forth and began to cast stones at them with his sling. Yea, with mighty power he did sling stones amongst them. Kind of like David. Stood there. And I just can't imagine, you know, in my own mind, being able to do that, except it was by the power of God. And certainly the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, because he had swelled up with joy, it said. He was swollen within him. This joy to do this thing. And he exercised his faith in his God. And of course, you know that he slew some of them, and he cut off some of their arms, and the king received him again, and none of the servants were killed. And he brought about a great conversion among the Lamanites. And later on, of course, from those people, some of them somewhere, probably someone like Samuel arose to come back and preach to the Nephites. And so he had success because he was not afraid and because he faced his Goliath and his problems in life. I would like to now at this time go and to read a scripture that we find in 1 Peter. It is written in Hebrews that the just will live by faith, and about four or five other places in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. And that is our commission and our command, that we should live by faith. Every day make decisions by faith. We wake up in the morning and we face the day with faith. We face the problems which we have with faith. You know, I can't help but remember the story which I have heard when I was down there in Mexico several times, which has been reported here so many times, and which Brother Placido wanted me to know. So, and he told me himself of this experience that our Brother Cayetano had upon one occasion when he was in the town of, was he in Copte? And going to Motul? Going to Motul from Copte, and he was ill and could hardly walk. And he knew he had to be there to make the bus, and he started off. And so he just started off. He started off, and before he knew it, he was just there. He didn't know how he got there. He didn't recall the journey. And he started off on this long journey by foot. I think it's about 5 miles, maybe? About 5 miles. It's flat country, but yet 5 miles through the heat and the sweat and the rain and everything else. And back then the roads weren't quite as good as they are now, and they're not too good now. But he was just there, and he got no ride from anyone, and he just took off, and he made that first step, hardly able to get going. And sometimes that's what you have to do. You have to make a step in faith. And I have a, you know, having seen the two cultures and witnessed them and witnessed what they do, because the cultures, they form your life and they shape you in everyday life. And these people, they suffer a great deal. But to a certain extent, and with a lot of people, it doesn't make much difference. It's just, well, of course we suffer. You know, that's the way it is. And they're willing to complain and tell you about their aches and pains and everything, you know, but tomorrow will be the same. And the day after that, and the day after that. But us, I wonder if in our society today, if in our aches and pains, and if we have grown so accustomed to being comfortable, being well-fed, and being cool in the summer and warm in the winter, if we have lost touch. You can't see, because we live so close to this city, you can't see the stars, you can't see clearly what truly is ahead of us, the spiritual walk that we have before God. And I know that our children have a trouble. And I did when I was growing up. I remember one of the things that I hated more than anything, and probably you do too, was to get out there on a hot, sunny day and have to take pictures, you know. because you'd have to stand there in the sun and, you know, and here you are out there and you're hot and you're tired and you're thirsty and you want to go play. And you know, it's not really that way down in Mexico. It seems like people are more than willing to stand for a picture, and it's hot, and you get tired, and they're willing to do that. And I wonder why. You know, why is it that they're so willing? And what? Not the little tiny ones. Sometimes they're not willing because they don't know what's going on. They're tired, and they're still immature at that stage where it does make a difference, and everything's a problem. But facing life with faith is being able to look at life the way it really is and get up and face it in the morning with joy, looking for the resurrection of life when we shall lay down this body and pick up an incorruptible body. Well, let's read here. I want to express a thought that is made here in 1 Peter in the second chapter, verse 9 through at least verse 11. But ye are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, these people today who have these scriptures, and anyone who will read them and listen to them, and any one of us who looks at this, they're talking to you. You've been called. And you've been chosen to hear this message. And you're called to be a holy nation. And you've been called out of darkness into light, a marvelous light. And this is your inheritance. But sometimes you don't have all that light right now. You don't feel too light when you wake up in the morning and you've got the same troubles that you had the day before. And the grass is still growing, and there's still a leak in the faucet, and you still have to do your homework, or you still have to go to work. And where is our faith? Our faith to take a step into every day with hope. Our faith to wake up, our faith to not be too concerned about being tired. You know, I was kind of concerned about our brothers who were taking the young people around, that they were had bitten off more than they should. You know, and everything was timed right down to the moment, and that they would not be able to make their appointments, and they'd be dead tired when they got done, or dead because they were driving too much. But there are times in our lives when, you know, being tired, it just doesn't make any difference. Being sleepy doesn't make any difference. And I really didn't know that until I went to Mexico. It just doesn't make any difference. At times. Because, and I've also begun to learn, you know, I'm always tired. Even when I get enough sleep. So I guess it doesn't make any difference, really, you know. And I guess the point that I'm making is that things are not going to be perfect. Things are not rosy in this life. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And sometimes it is easy to become complacent. It is easy to become a permanent resident of this world. A permanent resident. We're not pilgrims, but we like. We want to be a permanent resident. And the real hope and the real joy is that we are not a permanent resident of this world. We are just passing through from one place to another. And being tired when I wake up and I realize after so many years, and it hasn't come too slow, I recognized it a few years back, but I realize that I have a treasure in the person that I married. And it doesn't matter if I'm tired. I realize that I have friends and relatives and loved ones that care for me, and I care for them. And it doesn't matter if I'm tired. And it doesn't matter if I have something to do that I feel I can't accomplish. It doesn't matter. And this great trial of life, of trying to keep from getting too fat and trying to keep yourself healthy and trying to keep up with the bills and trying to prepare for Sunday school or whatever it might be to get ready, is something that's going to be over before you know it. It's just going to be gone. And no one will remember. There's a day coming when no one will remember the former trial. And so, where is your faith? Your faith is in God. And looking past, as the Scripture says in the Book of Mormon, this veil, this valley of sorrows that we live in, not that we're engulfed in these sorrows, but that we're passing through. We're pilgrims. We're pilgrims on the way to a better land, a better place, with a king who is just and righteous. And we have his example before us of how to get there. And trying to get a new home, as I know some people are, trying to get the old one painted, as I know some probably are, trying to get a new job. All these things will pass away. And where is your faith? Trying to fight an illness, trying to fight a habit, it's better to face these things with faith in God, and to take steps, to take a step in your life towards meeting that giant. And you know, the thing that I think that you can judge whether this is a true giant in your life or something you really should avoid is something, you know, they come at you. They're a threat to you and to your family. They're a threat to the well-being of yourself spiritually. They make it so you are not capable of enjoying the joy or enjoying life that God has given to you. These are the giants that you must face and that you must beat and win with God on your side. Tomorrow, again, we'll start off, and I've got to start getting ready and get my house ready so I can go to Mexico and get the lawn mowed and do this and do that and do something else. And it's far better that I wake up realizing and being able to look over these things, look past them, that they're not truly the thing that I'm here for. They're just things that I have to occupy my time and keep my bed made and my floor swept and things until the day comes when all this shall be burned. And it all shall be someday, every bit of it. So this really is the crux of my message. I have other scriptures that I wanted to read. But as I thought about it, and this thought of facing life in faith, we live by faith. Every moment of our lives, we live by faith. We keep God's commandments because we believe. I went to Navajo land because I believe. I believe in that work. I believe in the scripture that tells us that someday there's a Native American people that will rise up. And so I go. And so with my faith, I must face every day. I must face the inconveniences of life, the stresses that come upon me. Because it is the only way to live. And sometimes along the way, your faith is rewarded with little things. Little things that happen to you that are testimonies in your life. Little things that help you. You know, I was just shocked by some little thing that happened the other day to me personally. I was just surprised. And I was out here trying to get my camper going and get my refrigerator running, and I couldn't get that light lit for anything. I tried and tried and tried and checked the gas and checked my spark. I had spark and had my daughter inside checking it. Went and told Chris, I said, I don't know if we're going to leave or not. I can't get this thing going. We got all this food and stuff in there ready to go. We have to get it ready, you know. And And, you know, and I didn't pray about it. But my wife did. And I went out there, and we were all ready to go, really. And I was at the stage of, well, we just might as well just get back in the house and just wait. Punched that thing one time, and it lit. And I've been beating on it, you know, trying to get this thing one punch. And I was just shocked, you know. I was just taken back. I don't understand. And yet I guess I did understand. Some little thing. I had done nothing. Nothing. And some little thing like that happens to help you along, to remind you, that to live by faith is the best way. And so we can read and spend the day and the night reading about the faith of individuals who face death and face life and face giants, moved mountains. And I think we've got a few mountains to move. Mountains. Insurmountable things, and we just don't see how we can just get over them. And yet we can, by faith and by taking a step, just like Cayetano did one day. Well, I just got to get over it. Take a step towards that mountain, and maybe it shall be cast into the sea in a moment. But like that one woman who was refused twice by the Master himself, he knew she would ask again. I'm convinced of that. He knew that. God tries our faith, and he tests it to see what you're going to do. Will you stop asking? Will you stop believing? Will you stop trying? There's a funny song that my wife got from some tape someplace, some country and western singers that are kind of funny, you know, and this funny song, and it's about this Snidely Whiplash kind of guy, you know, and he's singing his song, and it's really kind of funny. He makes a statement, you know, he says, somebody in this world's got to be bad to let the good know they're good. And you know, there's a certain amount of truth to that. There's got to be some bad to let you know if you're good. There must be.
Thank you, Brother Jay. Please remember the announcements, and would you turn to 225 for our closing song? 225. Amazing Grace. Would you stand as we sing this song, please?
Thank you.
Would you bow your head with me? Our most kind and loving Father, I'm grateful, Lord, for this beautiful day and this hour that we've had to spend with Thee. I pray, Father, that You would go with us now throughout the remainder of this week, that we would be able to be watched after by Thee, and that we would enter this week in an eye of faith to be able to overcome those things that easily beset us and to be good examples before the children of men. I do pray that You be mindful of those that are growing old and those that are sick and afflicted in various ways, that You might strengthen them and help them, Father, in their lives, and help us to be able to see their needs and care for them as well. Father, we do thank You and we pray these things in the blessed name of Thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen.